5. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I want to look at a passage in Ephesians, and we're going to turn back in just a few minutes, look at a passage in Proverbs as well. But Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to start this morning. We were able to get a new projector this week, new video projector this week. So tonight, when you watch the Jim Berg series, you'll be able to see it much better, much clearer, much brighter than it was last week. But of course, you know, there's a new toy, and so I'm going to try to incorporate it in just a few minutes as well. I don't use PowerPoint too much on Sunday morning, but I am going to use it for a point or two this morning as well, and hopefully you'll be able to see it much better, much clearer, much brighter than it's ever been before, and be able to follow us along as well. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. We're going to start in verse number 14. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 14. I'm just going to read a couple verses as we begin this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessing upon the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, we pray that as we open your precious book, Lord, may your words speak to our heart today. Lord, I pray that you allow me just to be your messenger this morning, a vessel used to communicate what your word so clearly states for us. Lord, may we learn and grow together through that which we have in this time and in your word today. We thank you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse number 15 really is my text verse this morning. Verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Bible gives us so much information about how the transformed Christian life, how we're taken from the old nature and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ in a new nature. Many of the things in this passage is really, I think, a key ingredient in all of that, is challenging us to start making wise choices, start making wise decisions, start looking at where we, how we used to think carnally minded or used to think worldly minded, and begin to evaluate things from God's perspective. And so verse number 15 tells us, see or watch or be on alert to the fact that you walk circumspectly, minding the decisions you do, not as a fool, but as wise. And so I entitled my message this morning, Walking Wisely. And if you're visiting today, there's a copy of my outline in the bulletin. You can follow along as I speak this morning. Walk wisely, not as fools, making wise decisions, evaluating those opportunities that come along, and begin to evaluate as to whether or not we're making the wise choice and the wise decision on that which crosses our path. I put first on my outline there that we're to be mindful of our walk. In other words, it's something we need to be alert to. It's something we need to be taken into consideration, I believe, at every crossroads that we come to, every decision that comes our way, every event that crosses our path. We need to be mindful of the fact and conscious of the fact as to whether or not we're making a wise decision to where we need to go. We may not have always made wise decisions up to the present time, especially depending on how long we've been in Christ or how long we've been faithful in our walk with him, or how long we may have been conscious of the fact that we need to walk circumspectly. Regardless of those things, we may have had years behind us when we made unwise decisions, when we made foolish decisions, when we were not being smart in the things that we're doing. And now, as we come to this point in our life, I'm challenging us to all to evaluate, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how long we've been a Christian, no matter how long we've been in church, or no matter how old or young we are, that we start looking at decisions we're making now in our present circumstances, looking ahead to where God wants us to be down the road. So we're looking from here on that we press towards the mark, that we make wise decisions based on where we're at today, that we reevaluate our life. And so the challenge here at the beginning is see then, or take notice to, or open our eyes to the fact that we need to start making some wise choices and wise decisions based on where we're at right now. I mentioned briefly my son hiking the Appalachian Trail. He's just over 2 weeks into hiking the trail. There was a lot of information that he and I studied together before he took off, right? We read things. We went to different stores and evaluated stuff and talked to people. I was interested in reading books about it. Philip's 20 years old, so he wants to watch YouTube videos about it, you know, get information off the internet in a more visual context. I understand that. So he's watching things, listening to people, learning stuff. And there are things that he took advice from people who hiked the trail. And unfortunately, as we all do, there's things he did not take advice from. He's like, I don't need that. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't sound right. You know? He overpacked some things he didn't probably really need. And underpacked things that he really, really did need. Philip likes to wear shorts, you know, when he's hiking. He's wearing shorts. He's like, I'll be hot. I'll be walking the whole time. I'm wearing shorts. And so he texted me Thursday night. You know, it snowed 2 inches last night. I thought it might, you know. You're up in the mountains, you know. It's still not quite springtime yet. There's things that he wanted, you know, he knew we were coming down. So he said, I really want a watch. Bring me a watch. And he never wears a watch at home. He always uses his cell phone, right? Everybody uses their cell phone to check the time. But out on the trail, you can't leave your cell phone on that much because you need it to last for days. So you turn your cell phone off. You only turn it on when you need it. It's a pain to turn it on every time you want to check the time, you know? So he said, bring me a watch. I actually want to check the time and see what time it is. There were certain things that he needed. There were certain things that now that he'd been out there, he reevaluated that were important to him. His mom and I had got him all kinds of different first aid things to take along. Small things, bandages, things for blisters, different, you know, ointments in case he gets cut, things that he's going to need later on for like poison ivy and all the things that are out there in the woods. We had all those things. And I noticed because after he left, I took the opportunity after he left to go in and clean his room, which desperately needed done, you know. And so it was time to straighten up and clean. And there's all of those things that we bought him. Those first aid, they're sitting on the bed, you know. He didn't have room for them, you know. He had room for the Snicker bars and the gum and the whatever he bought. I don't know, different candy. Those got in the pack. But the first aid, the blister stuff, the ointment, the bandage, they're all still there, you know. So I'm taking them with me tonight, you know, so that I can go, I mean, what do you need now? Because now he's 2 weeks in, he's able to reevaluate and say, this is what I need on the trail. There's a place 4 days. If you start from Springer Mountain in Georgia, if you hike about 4 days, you come to this place called Nell's Gap. And right there, there's a little place. It's the only place on the trail where the trail passes through a building. And the guy has made a good living out of providing laundry, a bed to sleep in, and a whole store. And he collects as much stuff as he sells because people just, you know, he talks about one guy that showed up with 16 rolls of toilet tissue. You know, 16. You're going to need it somewhere down the trail, but one at a time, you know. One person showed up with 3 cans of bear mace. 3 cans. Yeah, they're heavy when you're hiking across mountains. So they deposit all this stuff and then they get stuff. And Philip said, boy, he said, he told me, he's like, I spent like $100 there, Dad. I'm like, I know, I bet you did. Because 4 days in, you were able to evaluate what you need and to see what lies ahead and what's really important. Now, back to the text. We're being commanded by Scripture, see then that you walk circumspectly. Walk wisely. Making wise, not as fools. It's time to evaluate our spiritual walk. It's time to evaluate where we are in Christ. See then the making wise decisions, making wise choices. We've all can talk about unwise things that we've done in the past. Unwise things that we said, unwise decisions that we've made, just unwise things that are in our past that we're like, I wouldn't do it again if I came to that crossroads again. I'd said in Sunday school that we rented a car to take down. I've never been a Ford or Chevy guy. That never mattered to me. I don't care. I didn't care. I do now, you know, but I didn't care. And Chevy Ford didn't matter to me. I had some Chevys. They ran great. Many of you know that I came across an auction, an opportunity to buy a former police car. And I bought that about a year and a half ago. I had a lot of fun with that. People really act funny when you drive a police car behind them. But well, I had a lot of fun with the police car, but it wasn't too long before the transmission started going out. You know, I'm like, OK, it had some miles on it before I bought it. I guess that happens. Transmission went out. Had to get rid of it. So an opportunity came up to buy another car. And that police car was a Ford Crown Victoria. And so I came to another car, and I came across a Ford Taurus. I'm like, well, that looks good. That looks comfortable. That'll get me around. And it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good price, and that'll work for me. And so I drove it about 4,000 miles, and all of a sudden the transmission started, you know, jumping. That's the one I drive right now. It works pretty good. But most of the time, the transmission's a little slippy and slidey. You know, I am in no desire to ever buy another Ford. You know, I'm not trying to make a commercial here, but I just, you know, twice bitten, no more. You know, I mean, two of them, both of the transmissions went out pretty quick. I'm not real excited about buying that. So if I come to that decision again, if I go down to the car lot and the car guy says, well, I got these five Chevys, I got these five Fords, I'll be like, I'm going this way. Or I'm going this direction because of my past experience, because I've made a decision before that didn't work out so well, so I'm going to head the other way. We all have decisions we've made in our past that didn't work out so well, that things that we've done wrong, things spiritually minded now, if we had it to do over again, we would have made a different choice. We cannot go back and change the past. But what we can do is make wise decisions starting right now. We can start making wise choices starting right now. And so my challenge in the whole message this morning is that we take the opportunities that come our way and say, is this a wise thing that I'm doing? Is this a wise decision that I'm making based on what the Word of God says? Based on what God wants me to do, is it wise or is it foolish? Long term, is this going to help me spiritually? Am I going to grow in this endeavor? Or is this going to hurt me as I go further down the road? Number two, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go back to Ephesians in just a little bit. But turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And I want to look at another passage here. And in this, I want to use a slide or two as I look at this. Proverbs chapter number 1. And let me slip over here real quick. All right. Proverbs chapter number 1. And starting in verse number 20. Proverbs 1 verse 20. We have a passage here about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand. No man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me. I will not answer. They shall seek me early. They shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. We'll stop right there in verse number 32. Scripture gives us some good indication of those who need wisdom, those who are lacking wisdom. Unfortunately, those who often rebuff wisdom or walk away from it. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, we saw that we're to walk wisely, circumspectly. not as fools, but as wise. And so when we turn to this important passage in Proverbs that gets into the meat of what wisdom is all about, it depicts wisdom as a woman crying, literally walking down the street, crying out, saying, I have wisdom. Who needs it? I have wisdom. Who wants it? And in this particular passage, it breaks down that foolish person into three, I would say, subcategories, three different levels, three different groups of people within that foolish umbrella that do not want wisdom. And so I thought it was important to look at those. Maybe they'll register a little bit. Maybe we can be more conscious of some of the decisions that we make and not make decisions as the foolish, but as the wise, as we're challenged to in Ephesians chapter number 5. The first one mentioned there is the simple. Do you see that? It was mentioned there in verse number 22. How long, ye simple ones? Mentioned again in verse 32, right? For the turning away of the simple. The simple. The simple is the one who's naive. A simple is the one who just doesn't know. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're unexperienced. Maybe they've never been down that road before. And so they cross something that they just don't know. Simple, not necessarily our fault unless we choose to stay there. But simple are the ones that just have no understanding. Philip's like 2 weeks on the trail. Philip has a pretty good idea of what he needs to cover the remaining 2,000 miles. You know, he's hiked almost 200. He has 2,000 miles to go. If he's going to do all that, if he's going to cover all that, he has a pretty good idea of what he's going to need to do it. The things that are important, the things that are not. One of the things that we talked about when he first started out was whether or not he was going to use hiking poles. In most of the pictures or the videos, you see him with hiking poles. It looks like they're cross-country skiing without skis. You know, they have these poles. And immediately, and I kind of agreed with him, Philip said, I don't want my hands full of them things all day. I'm not carrying them things around all day. That just doesn't sound like something I need. It doesn't sound like something I want. It's just going to, I mean, I have to carry them all the time. I don't want to do that. And I said, I understand that. That makes sense. And so my wife and I went to the Eastern Sports and Outdoor Show, the outdoor show that they put on in Harrisburg. And we went, and walking through there, I came across a table. A guy had a big map of the Appalachian Trail and a book because he had hiked it. And now he wrote a book about it. And hundreds of people have done that. And so he's one of the many that's written a book about his hike on the trail. And so I went over to talk to him and I said, oh, my son's going to do it and this and that. And my wife's standing there and Destiny says to the gentleman, she said, let me ask you something. We've been talking to our son about whether or not to use those poles. Do you think that's a good idea? And he smiled and said, I have a whole chapter about that in my book. He said, I went without poles. He said, by the time I came to my first road crossing where I could get supplies, he said, I would have gladly fought Mike Tyson to get a pair of them poles. He said, I wanted them. They were so helpful. He said, not going uphill, but they were so helpful going downhill. They save you from falling so many times. And so we went out and bought Philip a pair of poles to use. You know, he took them with him. He's glad he has them. Any picture that I've seen of Philip, he's using his poles. So that's something he didn't know anything about, right? He was naive when it came to what he needed to do that. Someone said wisely, I hiked the whole thing. Take these with you. And so Philip went and got a pair, and now he's using them. So the simple wouldn't know, right? The simple get out there and don't know what they need because they haven't done it before. The simple in the Christian life will make some wrong decisions. Our children, our young people will sometimes be faced with decisions they need to make. And the instinct, the natural instinct, the flesh in us will want to make the wrong decision. Young people say all the time, well, no one's going to get hurt doing that. But people do get hurt doing that all the time. Right? Nothing's bad's going to happen to me. It'll be okay. And yet those of us, and now I'm talking like a, now I'm talking like the grandfather I'm about to be, aren't I? Now as we evaluate things and look at situations, we're able to say, but people do get hurt doing that. And it's not always okay. And sometimes things go awry in these situations. So be wise in the decisions that we make. Not foolish, not simple. Be smart. be wise about the things we do. The second one that's listed here in Proverbs chapter number 1 is defined as the fool. The fool. The fool knows better, just doesn't care. The fool knows what they're supposed to be doing, but doesn't do it anyway. The fool knows the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do, but the fool's like, oh, I know, I'm just not going to do it. The foolish person is way past the simple. The simple have some excuse. They have no experience. They have no knowledge base. Maybe they're young. They just haven't been down that road before. The fool's been down that road before and does it again anyway. The fool has all the information at their hands. The fool is one who would say, yeah, I see that. Everybody says take hiking poles. I don't need them. You know? The fool would be the one, yeah, I know everybody says you're going to need this, you're going to need that. I'm not taking it. I'm not doing it. I'll do it my way. I'll do it on my own. I'll do it my own strength. I'll figure it out myself. I don't need any of that wisdom. I don't need any of that experience. I don't need any of those thoughts. I'll do it on my own. Listen, in the Christian life, we often come to decisions that we need to make, and we know better, and we do it anyway. We do it anyway. As a pastor, I have people that have come to me. They've dated this certain person and had a bad experience. Or maybe their first marriage was with this certain person and it was a bad experience. So they turn around and date or marry someone exactly like them. I'm like, but you had a problem the first time. It didn't work out the first time. Yeah, I know, but I'm comfortable that way. I'm comfortable heading this direction. I know better, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we know the truth? And why do we know what to do? And why do we know the right decision to make? And yet we choose to go down the wrong path regardless. There's things in your Christian life right now. There's things that as I'm preaching, you're thinking, the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now. There's things we need to change. There's things we need to work on. There's things we need to stop doing. We know. Listen, we know that on the back of that carton, it says this may cause cancer, and yet we do it anyway. People, hundreds of people, thousands of people do it every day, right? We know, but we do it anyway. Make wise decisions based on where we're at, based on where we're at right now. Forget the past. We can't change the past. We need to forget those things behind us. We can find forgiveness for those. The Lord's forgiven our sins in the past. We need to start making wise decisions moving forward. I know I shouldn't do that, so I need to change my direction and not continue down the same path that I've been on. Don't be the foolish person. The last one there I find very interesting, according to this passage, is the scorner. The scorner. Again, you see him mentioned there in verse number 22, of the simplicity, and then the scorners delight in their scorning. You see him mentioned down at the end of the passage there. Again, the scorner is that one that uses their cynicism, maybe their arrogance, to just shut everyone else up. When wisdom comes calling, their cynicism and their arrogance says, listen, the scorner believes they're the smartest person in the room. They're probably not, but they think they are. And they certainly act like they are. The scorner is the one who will always argue the point, just to argue the point, just to argue it. The scorner is the one who always approaches things in anger, always lashes out. My wife and I were talking about these as I was putting this lesson together. We were talking about these three, and all three, boy, there's folks, and you probably do too, there's folks that immediately come to mind, right, that you deal with. The simple, the naive, the foolish, those that know better, but they just don't change. And then the scorner, the one that you're always kind of scared to say something because they're going to use it against you. They're going to lash back out. They're going to use their cynicism to discredit anything you have to say on the matter. Now, we, sitting here today, we can't fix everyone else. We evaluate ourselves. And so as we sit here today, when wisdom comes calling, when I have a decision to make according to the Word of God, according to where I'm at right now, regardless of maybe bad decisions I've made in the past, I need to start making right decisions right now, godly decisions. The Bible says, watch and look, see that ye walk circumspectly. Be mindful of the decisions that we make. We don't want to make a decision based on simplicity, the fact that we're naive. If so, we have an opportunity. We know better. We can go get the right information. We can go get people that will help us. We can ask advice. We don't want to be the fool, the person who knows better and does it anyway. No wonder they're foolish. If they know the right thing to do and still do the wrong thing. We certainly don't want to be the scorner, the cynic, the one who's always undermining, questioning, yelling, trying to out-yell the other person and put it down through their own arrogance, through their own pride, through thinking, I have all the answers. I don't need to listen to anybody else. Boy, those are the characteristics we don't want. So if we're to evaluate ourselves, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, not as any of this group, but as wise, making wise decisions from here on out. Number three on your outline. We'll have to turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 16. Why? Here's the why. We've been studying verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Verse 16. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. The wise person is mindful of their limited time. Time is something we cannot buy more of. We cannot get more of. It's sifting through our fingers so quickly. We only have so much time. And so the wise person is mindful of the time that we have and is using the time wisely, making wise decisions based on the limited amount of time that we have. To be able to realize how quickly life goes by. To be able to evaluate the fact that am I using my time wisely, something that's going to live on, something that's going to have some eternal reward? Or am I using my time frivolously, letting it go by without any accountability for it, without any good response to it, without getting anything out of it? Am I just letting my time flitter away? The wise person is mindful of their walk, is mindful of the decision that they're making, because time is so short, because time is so precious. I'm 43. I'm looking at all the things that are happening this year, all the things that are changing in my life, all the things that are moving so quickly. It seems like we go. And as I say this, the older folks are going to go, yeah, we've been telling you. And the younger folks are going to have that glazed over look in their eye. But the years are going by so fast. They're going by so quickly. We seem to go from spring to fall to spring to fall to spring to fall and hardly have time to stop and see the summers and winters go by. They're just so quickly. The years are rotating so quickly. Things are happening so fast. We're so busy. We have so many things going on. Am I using that time for God? I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, look at the time I've wasted. Look at the time that slipped through my fingers. Look at the time I should have, could have, would have, and didn't. The Bible gives us an urgent reminder of that. An urgent call to action. See the time. Watch that you're making wise decisions. Why? Because you need to redeem the time. And the second half of the verse emphasizes that a little farther. Redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. We're living in evil times. I think we're living in evil times. A number of different things play into that. One, evil times are trying to take that time away from us. The evil times and the busy times and the many things that are going on are trying to zap that time away from us. Satan doesn't want us using our time wisely for the Lord. He doesn't want us laying up treasure in heaven. He doesn't want us using our time for our family and investing it into something eternal. He wants us using our time doing nothing, wasting the time, letting it go. The days are evil. The days are trying to take our time from us. The evil time is also a time that as a Christian, we're going to be in starker contrast to evil days. We should be in a greater contrast to the evil days. There should be more difference as the world is waxing farther and farther from the truth. And we know it is because the Bible says, right? We're waxing further and further from the light, further and further from the truth. As that's happening, then the Christian who is walking circumspectly, who is walking wisely, there's going to be a greater divide. There's going to be a greater extreme. More and more every day, we're going to be able to evaluate our lives and say, all right, I'm making wise decisions for the Lord. My time is short. I need to use it wisely. But that means that the difference between me and the lure of the world and of sin is going to be greater and greater and greater and wider every day. The days are evil that we're in. The evil days want to zap our strength, want to zap us spiritually, want to take our time, want to shipwreck us as Christians. The evil days are where it's even more important that we're walking wise because there's so many more bad decisions to be made. The bad decisions are getting wider and more varied, right? We see this throughout the Bible. This shouldn't surprise us. There's a straight and narrow way that leads to righteousness, but a wide way that leads to destruction. And so the wide way is full of all kinds of great things we could be doing, right? Fun things. Temporal things. Short-term things. The narrow path looks kind of, dare I say, narrow. Not a lot of decisions there. It's kind of a narrow path to get on, and therefore there's not a lot of options there, and it doesn't always look fun or as alluring or as bright. But those decisions are ones that are going to lead us to laying up treasure in heaven, using our time wisely, making an impact on our family and people that we come in contact with, so that more and more are on that straight and narrow, are heading to Christ, lives are being changed, because it reaps eternal rewards. Where the many options and the wide path is short term and leads to destruction. There's a stark contrast there. Number five is where I want to end up today. Number five on your outline. We are to understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse number 17, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we need to find out, what is the will of God? What's the will of God in my life? What does God want me to do? That's the million-dollar question, if you will. What's the will of God for my life? And I really think we make it too difficult. I think we make it broader than it needs to be. Because the will of God for me right now, today, is really pretty simple. The will of God for me right now today is that I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Right? That I worship Him. That I walk circumspectly. We have these verses that tell us this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Right now, I'm to worship Him. Right now, I'm to get to know Him better. Right now, I'm supposed to be making wise decisions. Now, we want to know, if you're sitting here, we want to know, what's God's will for me down the road, right? What's God's will for me as far as a career, as far as a relationship, as far as the next decision? We want to know what God's will is there. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. If I'm in the will of God now, by default, I will be in the will of God then. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. We just want a road map, right? We just want a map of everything ahead that says, this is where I'm supposed to go, this is where I'm supposed to head, this is the direction I'm supposed to make. Well, we just want the map. God says, no, 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 there's no map. I'm not giving you the map. God has the map, right? God's, again, let me make my parallel to the Appalachian Trail. Philip finds himself in the middle of the North Carolina woods. There is very little to practically no information at his fingertips. You know, he's a 20, 21-year-old kid who's used to everything comes via Google, you know. There's no Google in the North Carolina woods. You know, there's nothing out there. And so I am, and everybody that hikes the trail and does it successfully, usually has a trail manager. That's someone who's not on the trail, but is giving information and help to that person who's on the trail. So I'm his trail manager. And so always I'm checking, evaluating things. I'm checking the weather for him. You know, so it was nice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was pretty nice down there. So he was hiking extra miles Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday when the weather's nice, because it's supposed to be ugly and miserable, especially today and tomorrow down there. And so you don't want to be walking 15 miles in muddy, nasty, cold, wet weather. You want to do it when it's nice out, it's 65 and sunny, you know? So he's trying to walk extra on the good days so he can slacken up a little bit to make it a little more manageable on the bad days. And so I'm feeding him that information. I know how many cell towers he has around him, you know? Thanks to, again, Google. You can look all this stuff up, you know? I know he has a phone that uses Verizon cell towers, and so I can get a map of the North Carolina woods. Verizon's really the only one that works on the Appalachian Trail, by the way. Put that little nugget away. I'm not a Verizon fan, but it works great on the Appalachian Trail. You have to have that one. There's no Sprint towers down there, you know? So my phone's going to go dead when I get about an hour away, because my phone uses Sprint. It's going to go dead down there. But he has Verizon. And so I know that for a while yesterday, he cut out. We had no contact for a few hours because there was about 35 miles between towers, and he's in the mountains, and it was gone for a while. You know, it'll come back as he gets closer to the town that I'm meeting him at today. And so I'm able to see that. I'm able to say, dude, you're going to lose contact for a little while, but we'll hook back up later, and this is where you go, and this is what you need to do, and this is what you need. I'm looking from a big perspective because I have the internet at home, and I'm able to look at these maps and pictures and all these things I have hanging up. I'm his trail manager. Now, apply this to this for just a second. The Bible says we are to, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. God is, in a much broader way, and in a much bigger way, God's my trail manager. God tells me where to go, what to do. I would love to know way ahead, but God doesn't tell me way ahead. God tells me what I'm going to face right now and how to get through the challenges of right now and the things that I need to face the difficulties of the day right now. And if I acknowledge God in all my ways today, then he is directing my step today, because he's directing my step one step at a time. I want to know way ahead. Am I going to turn left or right? Am I going to go up or down? God's saying, no, no, no. Right now, you're going to take another step ahead. And after that, another step ahead. And when you get to that crossroads, you'll know where to go, because God's directing our next step. And if we are faithfully serving him, then it's a wondrous thing. Listen to me. This is, I can attest to, this is my testimony. It's a wondrous thing if we're following him, faithfully following him, we look back and go, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I make all the right decisions to get here? And of course, the answer to that, I said that tongue in cheek, is I didn't make the right decisions to get here. God directed my path. God's leading me step by step by step along, so that someday I get there and go, wow, look what God did in my life, because it's all about, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We're to be mindful of what the will of the Lord is. We need to be mindful of what the will of the Lord is for us today. Getting in his word, having a sweet relationship with him today, doing what we know we're supposed to be doing today. Let him take care of tomorrow. Let him take care of those decisions, those things that are going to come our way. He will guide our steps if we faithfully acknowledge him in all of our decisions today. Let's pray.